Welcome to the Nutritious and Delicious podcast with me, Bethany. Our mission is to support you as a busy parent with your nutrition and well-being. After all, at Nutritious and Delicious, we believe a healthy family starts with a healthy parent. So I'm excited because I have Dr. Grace Yum with me here today. So she is actually a certified pediatric dentist and she lives in California. She's a devoted mother and she holds the actual distinguished certification only achieved by 5% of US dentists. Dr. Yum is known for founding Yummy Dental and Orthodontics for Kids and spearheading Mommy Dentist in Business as its CEO. She's been featured in lots of different places such as Today Show, NBC Chicago, and featured in lots of different parenting magazines. Dr. Yum has been a guest on various podcasts discussing topics like dentistry, work-life balance, and business tips for working mothers. During her free time, she enjoys quality moments with her husband and two children. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one because it's very different kind of from what we normally do. But this topic today is actually going to be about learning to build a business practice during a recession. So this is a really great topic, I think, especially for this year.
Yes, well, it is timely. And when you hear about recession, one would cringe and think, why in the world would you open up a business at the worst financial or economic time? Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that I am living proof that it can be done. And if you look at it from the glass is half full perspective, mindset is everything, and having clarity, you will succeed.
Mm-hmm. So kind of give us how you got started in this space, because I know you kind of gave me some background and your experience in actually having built a business during a recession. So can you kind of give us some details of how you kind of started yourself?
Absolutely. I worked as a pediatric dentist for other companies for a couple years, and I had also moved right 6 months right before the recession really hit in the US back in 2007, 2008.
Okay.
I was in between, as in jobs and life, you know, life happens. My husband and I moved from Chicago to California right after we got married. I started working in California, and then his job, because of his work, we decided to move back to Chicago. But I had already let go of all my positions. And the recession was coming and nobody wanted to hire me back. And I decided, well, I don't really have a choice. I need to do something. Right. And that's when I said, I'm going to, you know, grab the bull by the horns and do my own, make my own practice, make my own business. And that's how I started in the middle of the recession. And everyone, including the bank, thought I was crazy. And yeah. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And the bank ultimately gave me a loan to start a build out. I mean, new construction. I didn't purchase an existing practice that already had cash flow. There was no cash flow.
Right.
And so the bank said, every month I had to submit reports. They needed to see my reporting every month for a year to make sure that I was headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I quickly put in all my time and energy and effort. It was literally blood, sweat, tears. Mm-hmm. And I remember this is before SEO and Google and pay-per-clicks and digital marketing.
Right.
I had a black address book with dates, and I targeted an open date, and I was advertising my open date. And as my office building, I was on the first floor of a commercial building on a very busy street. Okay. I used my window line as my own personal billboard. So my window line, I had posters and vinyl, like, you know, things that I taped up, and opening soon, phone number, here's my website.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be on the L train in Chicago, and a phone would ring, and I'm on the train, and I'm taking down an appointment. I'd be at a restaurant eating lunch, and the phone would ring, and I would run to the bathroom and take down the appointment. I was in a very hustle mind attitude, and I started off scrappy, but had that mentality of I need to do whatever it takes to get patients in the door and scheduled. And not, that's just one side of it. But mm-hmm. when you're starting a business, you have to think about marketing. You have to think about, you know, the computers and all the furniture and then the equipment. And with dentistry, people don't realize how expensive dentistry is. One dental chair is $12,000. Mm-hmm. An x-ray unit can range anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. Yeah. And you're sitting here, then you're calculating the cost of the construction and all of that you're dealing with. And then you want to open on time because it's new construction. It's very rare that one opens on time. My front desk counter, the granite counter, was glued in at 9 p.m. the day before I was going to open and see my first patient.
Wow. That's crazy. What a kind of a story. It's, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, you're in the weeds. And I think a lot of people don't see that when you are in the weeds, like when you're getting up, you know, from your dinner to go take an appointment in the bathroom, or, you know, the different things that you have to do and the blood, sweat and tears, that is basically what it's like starting any business, especially during a recession. So I kind of want to go into sort of like your mindset. And I think a lot of people have the idea. A lot of people are afraid to kind of jump in and do it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, my analogy is like, you need to burn all the boats. You kind of need to burn like everything around you for a life raft. Like you said, you had no choice in terms of going back to like another job. With that and knowing that, like, you know, the bank was kind of on your case about asking, like, how are you going to do this? Where was your mindset when you had really like no clientele yet, but you were trying to sort of find that clientele, and how were you reaching out and doing that? Like, I know obviously with internet, it's a little bit different now, but sort of, were you trying to find more foot traffic? Were you kind of calling up old people, things like that? So kind of give me sort of the rundown on like your mindset throughout that. And there's probably times where you probably wanted to throw the towel in, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Luckily, because I had worked for other dentists, my name was already out in the community. Okay. And everyone thought that I had moved, though. So then when I got back, I used, at the time, Facebook had just was really booming. There was no Instagram. It was just Facebook. Okay. And I used Facebook, really, to put up posts and tell everybody where I was. But I also spent a lot of money on direct mail, like mailers. I wanted mailers to go to every single house, and I worked with a company with different zip codes and creating a twofold brochure and having just call to action on it and things that the patients could come and read about me and my offerings and some things like, hey, you know, if it's your first visit, I'll give you the exam complimentary. Right. So I would, you know, try to entice people and get them in the door. Being a pediatric dentist, I did a lot of grassroots marketing. And what my number one emphasis to business owners, especially small business owners, is that it's all about your relationships. Right. It's all about relationship building and building trust and being likable. You can try to network and build relationships, but if you are not likable and you're just mean and you're not approachable, you are not doing yourself a favor. Right? And there's a difference between being authentically and genuinely caring versus a salesman, like trying to sell yourself as if you're trying to sell a commodity. If you're in a service business or service industry, you're not selling a pen. You have to sell yourself and who you are, right? And that's really important. Grassroots marketing, when you have zero budget. I was at the kids' parks handing out toothbrushes. I would go to all the kids' focused centers like daycares and drop off toothbrushes. I would go to little haircut places or wherever to say, can we cross promote? You team up with your community of other business owners near you and cross promote and help each other. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, I'm not coming to, you know, the toy store down the street and being like, can you just spread the word I'm here? I'm going to go in and say, I would like to talk to the manager. I would like to talk to the owner. I'm opening up down the street. I think there's a really good collaboration that we could have. Yeah. Like, you know, is there a way that we could work together in building our clientele? Like, I will send my patients to your toy store after their treatment. Maybe I can give them like a $5 off and they can come here and buy something.
That's great.
You know, so you have to think of ways, and or the pizza place down the street. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to send my patients to your pizza place, and all the patients, like after, you know, school, they might be hungry. Would you want to collaborate? So you have to be creative in how you want to market, number one, in a recession, and number two, how you are going to, I don't want to say discount yourself. I don't want you ever to discount yourself, but I want you to be able to say you're getting all this value, right? You have to create that value so they can see, oh, this is why I'm coming here. It's not just to clean my teeth. It is for the education. It's in a lovely space. It's to be treated like your family. I'm going to roll out the red carpet. I'm going to call you by name. I'm going to send you to the toy store with a $5 gift card. I'm going to, so these are all the things that you have to do with external, I call external marketing and internal marketing. And the cheapest conquest that you, is $0, is word of mouth.
Yeah, referral.
Referrals, right? Yeah. And that is where you have to focus your time when you're in a recession, is how to get clients without spending money.
Right.
And that's word of mouth. And that means you have to do an extra good job so that that client leaves and says, I want other people to know about you.
Right. I find a lot of people, they want sort of the magic key. The magic bullet, I think, for a lot of things. And what works for one doesn't always work for the other. But right. I just wrote down as you were speaking, there's a few things that you pointed out. So there's building relationships, there's cross promoting, win-win situations, adding value and going above and beyond. I think those are some really key points, I think, that would really help any business. Do you find that it was more like a numbers game? Like you just had to just keep going despite the no's? And there are a lot of no's in terms of building a business. So, you know, it might not be right now, but it could be yes in the future. So how do you sort of handle the what people feel is rejection and the doors closing on you and that those days of those tears? How did you sort of handle that?
Well, whatever the situation, I don't know the magnitude of the no, right? I don't know the magnitude of how one's going to feel when they feel a door close. But you always have to think positively, and you always think, if it's not this door, there's another door.
Right.
There's always another door, and there's always another key. So it's the spirit of being relentless. If you entrepreneurship and business ownership is not for everybody.
No.
I'm going to say it right now. And if you have the spirit of grit, persistence, you can and will succeed. It's not pretty all the time. Yeah. And you may think it's glorious and you may think, oh, that person's so successful.
Mm-hmm.
But 50% of being successful is being a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fail first or at some point in your career so that you can then turn that around and be successful.
Right.
And not everybody's journey is successful 100% of the time. And sometimes it's like the analogy I use is throwing pasta on the wall and seeing what sticks. There's going to be a lot of revisions. And the person that you are now is not going to be the person who you are in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've heard this through a few places, but especially when you're, I'd say, highly educated, I feel like you come from a place, like a lot of people come from a place of being taught not to fail, being taught kind of to stay safe. And when it comes to feeling like they have failed, it's such a negative thing. And I think what's happening in unfortunately social media is that there's so much glorification of that success or fake success. And I think it's hindering a lot of people with the growth that they are doing. And like you said, if doors are closing, other doors are opening as well. But I think a lot of people aren't sort of focusing on that, and they're focusing on the failures more so. And, you know, helping people with that.
So I think that you're hitting it right on the head. Social media is a highlight reel.
Yeah.
Social media is putting your best face out there. It's very rare that people on social media are going to talk about the challenges and the ugly side.
Yeah.
Right. I think that you have to take that with a grain of salt. And if you're going to open in a time of recession, you really need to be gritty.
Right.
You know, and that's a character trait that not everybody has, but you really need to be able to weather the storm, right? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be a palm tree during a storm? They can bend with the storm and they're not going to knock over. And that is something that you learn as you go, and you're going to learn as you go. And that's the only way to do it, really.
Yeah, definitely having that determination and not giving up. I know I'm pretty relentless myself, and people kind of, I think, look at, you know, yourself and myself and say like, well, how come you haven't given up? And for me personally, I think because I feel like I've been through a lot worse issues. Yeah. So I can kind of compare it to that, where I can say, you know, I can get through anything. Like, this is nothing. And that kind of leads into, you know, having the last few years, having everyone going through the pandemic and everything. What I've noticed is I found a lot more people, like, it's weeding out a lot of the weak people. But there's a lot of people that are coming through that are also strong. What have you noticed in your industry in the last several years in terms of like the dentistry, in terms of people becoming entrepreneurs? Have you noticed a difference?
Well, here's the thing in dentistry, because you're a medical specialist, dentist in dental school, you're trained to do the dental work, right? It's dental surgery. And if you think about it, you're working in a space this small on a tooth this little. It's the millimeter profession.
Right.
And most dentists are hunched over, you know, trying to do this. Their eyesight goes, their ear, like the drill can cause deafness. There's a lot of occupational hazards that come with dentistry, especially head, neck, shoulder. It's very physical, but nobody realizes that.
Right.
It's a very physical, but the personality is that of someone who's a perfectionist.
Yes.
There's a certain personality trait that comes with this profession. And most oftentimes, you know, we're scientists, we're artists, we are also providing healthcare. So to be an entrepreneur is a whole nother skill set. And for one to own a business and be the dentist is very difficult.
Yeah.
And a lot of dentists will not want to do the ownership part because they want to focus on their profession and what they're trained to do. And to open up a business and do the entrepreneurial part is a whole nother skill set they have to learn. And most of them learn on the job. They learn by working for somebody else and learning it that way, or hiring people. And so what I see right now is a mixed bag in our profession of 50% owning and 50% that aren't owning. Mm-hmm. And what's even more interesting is the baby boomer, like the generation that's about to retire, there's a huge population about to retire. They have nobody to sell to because the younger generation, they want a lifestyle. They don't want to be bogged down with running a business. They want a 9-to-5 job. They want to show up and see patients 9 a.m. and leave at 4:30 p.m.
Right.
And they don't, and then they want to be off the clock. And a lot of the older generation dentists are just closing up shop and that's it. Like, and they're sending their patients away. They can't sell their asset because there's nobody who wants it. And so we're seeing this kind of turmoil, turnover, I would say probably up until mid-40s.
Okay.
The generation from mid, like 45 and up, their mindset was own a practice, own a practice, own a business, own a business. Under 45, like usually a typical dental student graduates around 27, 28, goes to residency. They're probably in the workforce at 30. 30 to 45-year-olds, not interested in general. And so there's a huge generational difference also. And I would be interested in knowing if that generational difference is popping up in other industries. And like you had mentioned, social media.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to be social media stars and they want to be influencers and they want to be famous on TikTok. And yeah, so it is interesting.
It makes me think of the work ethic, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I think past generations has a very hard work ethic. And I think we're coming into an age where I think a lot of people just sort of want, like you said, come into the 9 to 5 and they want that lifestyle. But the problem is, like you and I know, 9 to 5 in a business, it doesn't work that way. You're not being paid by hour, you're being paid by the value that you're providing to people and the relationships that you're building. So it's interesting because it makes me wonder where these industries are going to go if no one's owning it. It's going to be a big corporation that might take it up and then you work for them.
It is. Like corporate dentistry has become so big right now and there's a concern. And not to get too technical, but the corporations are going into the dental schools, whining and dining the students saying, join us and we'll give you this $200,000 salary. We'll pay for your move. We'll give you a signing bonus.
Yeah.
And then the dentists, the individual owners are more like, we can't give you that. But we're here to mentor you.
Right.
We're going to teach you what you didn't learn in dental school. And we're going to show you, because not every patient is the same. There's all these anomalies and all these differences that you don't have experience with. But the corporations don't have the mentors. So,
looking at it now in my life, like I would prefer like having the mentor and doing it that way, because you, again, at the end of the day, are going to own that yourself and you're learning as much as I don't think people realize as well. I think a lot of people are expecting sort of the pay while they're learning, but you suck up so much from like a mentor. Like you're basically getting all of that information like for free, and you can learn it anywhere else, you know, so it's invaluable. Like it's something where if you can sort of follow someone even for like, you know, a year or 6 months, anything like that, and just soak up their knowledge, like you're going to school for free but not learning it, you know what I mean, at school. So what are some of, I'd say, let's go into sort of some solutions of like, if you are going to go into some kind of a business practice, whether it's dentistry, healthcare, anything to do with business. There's a lot of businesses going online now and doing hybrid models, like in person and sort of online as well. What are sort of some 3 to 4, I'd say, mindset things to help people to change it or stand out? Because it seems like we are kind of gravitating towards that relaxed generation of, you know, everything should be easy and working hard is actually not something you want to do anymore. I think we're kind of moving into this different dynamic. I think there's still people out there that are the entrepreneurial type, but for those that are listening that want to own their own business and have something for themselves, what would you suggest to them as some solutions?
Well, I'm not really sure what kind of problems that they're facing. Is it from the perspective of fear that they're not?
Yeah, a lot of it. I think a lot of people are stopping themselves from doing that. Like you said, the wine and dine. I think it's in society. A lot of students and young entrepreneurs, even people changing their careers now, are sort of having that wine and dine from life of, you know, this looks pretty over here, like come do this. But then there's no real like work ethic going on. So how do we sort of like switch them into the other group of like, what are the benefits of really having your own business?
Well, the benefits of having your own business is trading time for money, right? And being your own boss and not having to answer to anybody. And then, but you're responsible for your own self. And if you choose to hire people, then that's where it can start to, is if you have many employees, they're depending on you for their livelihood, right? So there's a lot of responsibility there. So I think that the solution really is to really take a deep look and see, like, what are your non-negotiables? What are you willing to do and not do? And once you can answer those questions, then you can say, like, am I going to follow through?
Mm-hmm.
I think the worst is when you start something and then you quit And quitting is better than not trying at all. But I think that if you do your homework and do the research well in advance, that you can set yourself up for success. And I just recently was talking on my Instagram about this. I was holding my son's Rubik's Cube, you know, that little cube that you have to match all the colors, right? That's like from the 1880s. My son is 9 and he can solve the Rubik's Cube and I can't. And so I said, holding the Rubik's Cube, I said, the reason why my 9-year-old can solve it is because he studied and figured out the algorithm and the system in which to solve the Rubik's Cube.
Right.
I did not. So if you gave me a Rubik's Cube and my son a Rubik's Cube, in 60 seconds, he'll solve it. I still will not have solved it in an hour. The analogy is, if you want to do anything to completion, you have to have a system in place so that you can successfully complete it to completion, right, the task. If you are willy-nilly and unorganized and you have no idea, then you can spend an hour and still not solve the problem.
Right.
Right? So for anybody who's contemplating having a business, do the research, whatever industry you're in. It could be owning a bakery. It could be a little shop on Etsy making arts and crafts. Whatever it is, you have to do the research before you're going to complete it to completion. Because otherwise, if you don't, you'll be aimless and you'll be frustrated and you'll be driving yourself crazy for days, months, years. And then that's where you quit. Mm-hmm. Dieting, for example. If you don't meal plan for your diet and you don't know in advance what you're going to eat that day and you're running around and you're just starving, now you're just going to grab anything because you didn't plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so planning is very crucial to whatever task it is that you are trying to achieve.
It sounds like, sort of in a sense, to be an entrepreneur, I know you said that a lot of dentists and in healthcare as well, a lot of people are very perfectionists. So I feel like you need a mix of both, almost like both personality, because I know quite a few people, like I gravitate more to the A type personality, perfectionism myself. But there's also, I think, a lot of people I know that aren't like that and they do really well in other areas. But I think it's good to have other people around you, mentors as well, that kind of showcase both.
Yeah.
And because learning only one way isn't always going to get you to that solution, and it's going to feel frustrating. But I think if you can sort of bounce ideas off other people and learn from other people, it gets you to your path a lot faster. And I think that's really helpful for a lot of people.
Right. And I think that is exactly it. You have to surround yourself with people with which you can pull information from. So whether it's a mentor, whether it's, you know, another person whose business you admire, whatever it is, it's really important to pick their brain.
Yeah, I think that's very crucial. Just with any other messages out there for anybody kind of wanting to start a business, what would be sort of some advice to them if you were kind of mentoring somebody right now?
Oh, there's so much advice, you know, to give. But if I, for the people that I do mentor, I tell them straight up, honestly, make your own magic. Nothing is given to you on a silver platter.
Yeah, that's pretty true. And I think a lot of people are looking for that. And I think it's that silver solution, I think, for a lot of people. And there is some hard work to be put in. And, you know, I think, like you said, the responsibility is still very high. You need to be organized and you need to look at your non-negotiables of, you know, and why do you want this? I think for me, a big one as well was understanding my why. Why am I doing this? You know, and what kind of life do you want to lead? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind?
Exactly. And that's ultimately the big picture, right? Is what is the legacy? And I think that sometimes that seems so far for some people, that tunnel vision, and they may not know, but having clarity. So having true clarity as to why you're doing what you want to do is really important. Mm-hmm. But there is no secret sauce, unfortunately.
No. It's just hard work. And I honestly think it's the numbers as well. Like, I think you just need to keep going despite, you know, maybe the no's that you're getting, and just keep going and having that perseverance and that determination for yourself, okay. The bigger picture. Exactly. Wonderful. So how can our listeners actually contact you?
Well, I'm reachable on Instagram. If you go to Mommy Dentist in Business on our Instagram, feel free to drop a DM or email and I would be happy to connect with you.
Wonderful. And I'll leave those in the show notes as well. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Bethany. It was nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.